Now, in the NIV, it says, "For God did not give," verse 7, sorry, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Now, who gave us the spirit of timidity? How did he use, or what strategy did he use to do it? Anybody got any idea? How did he accomplish his purpose?
By lying to us.
Huh?
By lying.
Well, in my upbringing, there was no concept of the lies that would be coming from my parents or teachers or preachers or even the church.
People of authority over you have no choice but to honor them.
They were giving out what they knew. They were teaching me what they had been taught. So we were a product of the knowledge of the good and evil. And we were ping pongs being pushed around. And so I want you to be aware that this is something that, you know, when you begin to see that you are a product of your area of knowledge, you learn. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you a few more scriptures that may be helpful because, again, see, Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Well, that's completely the opposite to accepting guilt for your bad choices or whatever they may be. Okay? And when you're choosing to bow to those forces, not very funny, but it's the truth, you end up bowing to the darkness and not even knowing it. Now, Psalms 3, verse 6 says, "I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side." That's awesome, isn't it?
What was that again? Psalm what?
Psalm 3, verse 6.
And what was 2 Timothy 4?
2 Timothy 1, 7. Now, in the Amplified, he actually says, "Will not bow to a spirit of fear." So if you read the Amplified, I brought my Amplified out. If we need to read it, we can. It just goes into quite a bit of detail. But basically, I'm trying to make you see that fear and timidity are the same thing. Same spirit. Psalms 27, verse 3. "Though an army besiege me," now an army is a lots of forces, right? "My heart will not fear." So he's declaring, that's King David. "Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident." And it's confirmed in Psalms 46, verse 2. Then you can go to Psalms 91, verse 5. "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day." Now, for years, I didn't understand spiritual arrows, but spiritual arrows are actually words that are coming out of somebody against you and I. Okay? And so those are the arrows that fly by day. Psalms 112, verse 8 confirms it. Then Psalms 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid." That's pretty clear. "What can man do to me?" So he's looking at the natural realm, but you can look at it from both perspectives. Amen? So I will not be afraid. That's choosing not to bow to the spirit of fear or timidity. Proverbs 3:24. I love this one. "When you lie down, you will not be afraid." This one would have been perfect for Judy. "When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." Amen? It's confirmed in Isaiah 8:12. I'll take you to Isaiah 12:2. And this one, you can put a star around it. Isaiah 12:2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Notice the additional power. I will trust. You're choosing now to trust. And not be afraid. The Lord is my strength. It says it twice. And my song. He has become my salvation. Meaning there's a process. He has become my salvation. When someone mentioned tonight that they had had abuse, that was part of the word of knowledge that was given to those two young men that I ministered today. That they weren't, it wasn't the same kind of destruction that was done against them, but it had caused them to fold inside and not be able to walk in the places where God had prepared. The next scripture is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 has a mountain of goodies, but verse 15 is very clear. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry. I love this part. Abba, Father. We need to confess this word. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Slavery is a thought pattern. If you think of yourself as a slave, what are you doing? You're in submission consistently without even realizing it. When the Israelites came out of 400 years of slavery, he took them out of Egypt, but the slave part was still in them. Mm-hmm. And in the church, and I say this with respect, in the church, most of the church is teaching people to walk in slavery and to fear those that are in authority in order to keep using them. And I don't like to say this out loud, but it's the truth. And I'm not going to hide it. Because when you speak it out, the slave mentality has to go. And when you constantly walk around in submission to those forces, what are you doing? Your scripture says, Romans 6:16, I learned that years ago. To whom you bow to, you become a slave to. Now, Pharaoh was dead in the Red Sea, or whatever.
The army was.
The army? Pharaoh he wasn't dead. I thought he was dead with him.
I'll reread, but I don't know.
I think he was. Because I think he was leading. But anyway. The bottom line is, he was still alive in their minds. Mm-hmm. See, they just switched the authority from Pharaoh to Moses.
And pushed all the blame, too.
So, if you take and look at all the rebellion that Moses tasted of, it was very similar to what Pharaoh was accused of.
He who you place your trust in is the one you also put the blame on.
Yeah. So, see, they trusted him, but as soon as he started listening to the Lord and the presence of God was on him, they couldn't stand him. They were angry with him because the presence of the Lord was all over this man because he was spending time with God. And remember about several days back, I shared with you guys that even in Genesis, it was the presence of the Lord that really irritated Adam and Eve. They couldn't handle it. They could still hear the Lord. They heard him, and they heard him walking, so their ears were open. But it was his presence that irritated. What irritates people when they come into this place is the anointing and the presence of the Lord. If they don't know him and they don't want to submit to him, they come in, but they're really fighting all the time they're here. For those who find this at home, it's because they've had a relationship I remember talking to Pastor Jay several years back after he had been with us an evening and we needed a few minutes and we talked. And he says, never, never underestimate what God wants to do here. Because he says, the presence is here. His presence is here. And, you know, we can know that in 1992, your husband had a dream and he put it on a cassette tape. Preparing this house of prayer for all nations. It hadn't even been born yet. But Chuck had the dream. And it describes his building to a T. I told the manager this information last week. And guess what she did? She got up from her desk and showed me photographs of the building when it was first constructed.
Oh, really?
She had found them. And I told her that this building was dedicated to the Most High God by the owners of the property before it was sold. So I says, are you surprised that you have quite a few churches here? And she says, I didn't know that. So I could educate you a little more, but it's not time. Okay. Why are we here? We're here to complete a mission. Whatever he wants, we do to the best of our ability. But are we going to bow to guilt and fear? No. No. No more. No more. You don't bow to guilt. You don't bow to fear. Because if you do, you close the door to the miracle he's planned to release to you. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and see yourself as a child when you felt totally guilty. And if somebody came over and tried to give you a bonus, you would automatically reject it because you didn't deserve it. Because you lived under the law. As soon as the guilt is removed, you were ready to receive any blessing that would come to you. I should hear an amen.
Amen.
You heard that one, huh? You heard it? Why is it true? Because guilt nullifies the blessings. You cannot receive what God has prepared if you're walking around with a guilty conscience. And Jesus already took care of that in the finished work. It's all taken care of. Yes?
And if you partake of the finished work and the law, as I had said earlier, you are no longer taking the roasted sacrifice lamb, but you're eating raw flesh. It cannot be mixed.
Amen. You know, when the Holy Spirit began to pressure me to fight this stuff, it had to be fought in the mind first with the word, declaring it from my mouth, and making sure that I accepted the truth. Because you can know something, but it's always for the other guy. It's not for you. Because after all, you're dirty and you're soiled. And you've been manipulated and you believe the lie. When you trust in what Jesus has done with his blood, when he allowed himself to be roasted actually in the midst of the destruction that he went through, and he did it specifically for me and you, then you begin to walk in a new place of freedom. And then you can begin to receive the blessings he's prepared for you. But if you're constantly fearing what others have as an opinion of you, then you're already guilt by association. To whom you hang out with, you become alike. If someone is next to you constantly confessing the negative, what happens to your insides?
You take it on.
Yeah.
You start seeing the same that they see.
And you begin to agree with them because you just feel sorry for them. What have you done? You're joining their slavery. A little bit, that was happening tonight there at the beginning, and we had to just kind of reel it in a little bit because of the overpowering emotions that were flowing in this individual. And I'm not trying to blame anybody now. That's not the thing. But some of you had already tasted this and you've already overcome. And you know there's trouble ahead for someone who goes into that direction. But because of God's intercession through the saints, deliverance was happening tonight. Okay? But we've all been there. How many times do you go around the same mountain before you finally learn the same lesson over and over, and your confession, young lady, was perfect tonight? Because you said it. You don't succeed, you'll go back. You'll do it again and again and again. And not funny. Amen? So, your liberty. Your liberty is at stake here. Amen? I want you to go to verse 21. Romans 8, 21. The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. That's pretty intense. That's intense freedom, isn't it? All of the decaying aspect of the human body and all of the decaying aspects of the animal kingdom and even in the vegetation, all of this is going to be reversed when the kingdom of God is using vessels that have been prepared to rule and reign instead of the kingdom of good and evil and the fear of that kingdom. So those who wonder, are we going to taste this? Yes, you will. You will taste this. You say, well, when? Am I going to be dead and buried before it happens? I doubt it. I doubt it very much. Because the lady that will be coming at the end of April, her dad and I discussed some of this. And I've been studying one of his CDs that I've had it for about, I can't tell you how long, but it's been in my car for a good month, maybe more. And I keep going over it. And one of the comments, now I don't have the date of the CD, but at his, at one of his meetings that I attended, he declared it loud and clear. He says, in 2009, we entered the kingdom. We entered the kingdom. Now don't forget, Jesus was born approximately 4 AD. Okay? So if you take the time of his birth and the time of his death, you've got 33 and a half years. Yes. And I don't want to play with numbers. I'm just trying to give you a heads up. Some people think that the end times are just another season. I believe the Lord is preparing his time of glory to such a degree that we will be awed when we start seeing the manifestation of it. And the manifestation will come with signs and wonders. What he did in the 60s and 70s was a foretaste. And I just got I printed out a copy of Kim Clements' Word of Knowledge that he received just a little while ago. And he points out the same thing. He says, we're on that threshold. We're about to enter in a season of glory that's way beyond what we've ever understood. Okay? And it's going to touch the whole world. It's not going to touch just a few here and there. So you've been prepared. You say, well, is it going to be work? I'll tell you, when the glory of God is on the job, it's not work, it's refreshing. Yes. Yeah. Amen?
It's invigorating. It's invigorating, right? And remember, Jesus was so hungry in John chapter 4. He sent the disciples to go get some food. And then he met the woman at the well.
Confirm. That's just what I was thinking about.
He wasn't hungry anymore. So I have food you know not of. And you're going to be doing things that God has prepared you to do. And he alone will get the glory. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I am going to ask for the mind of Christ.
I am going to ask for the mind of Christ.
To be formed in me.
To be formed in me.
So that I can get rid of the guilt.
So I can get rid of the guilt.
The self-condemnation.
The criticalness.
That I've had against myself.
Because what was done to me.
What I was accused of. The betrayal.
All the things that happened to me.
From the moment that I entered this realm.
I'm asking you now.
For the blood covering. Of every one of those things. That I felt guilty about. I renounce the spirit of guilt. And all of its condemnation. And I'm asking you now.
For the freedom.
To walk. With what you've already paid for.
On that cross.
Specifically for me.
And I refuse the spirit of fear.
And what he has accomplished in me.
And what he has accomplished.
And what he's done in and through me.
Now is canceled.
By the truth of God's word.
He did not give me a spirit of fear.
I stress the reality. It's not a spirit of fear that I received.
From my heavenly Father.
I receive power.
Love.
And a sound mind. And I will not bow to this fear again.
And I'm asking the Holy Spirit.
To counsel me. To comfort me.
To educate me.
When I see myself flowing in fear.
Or feel the torment going on in my mind.
Not to bow.
But to stand up straight.
And declare.
My God.
Has given me power.
Love.
And a sound mind.
And I will rule and reign.
With him.
Because I'm seated with him already.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.